This letter is from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus. I am writing to all of God's holy people in Philippi who belong to Christ Jesus, including the church leaders and deacons. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding, for I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory and praise to God. And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. It's true that some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach about Christ with pure motives. They preach because they love me, for they know I have been appointed to defend the good news. Those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely, intending to make my chains more painful to me. But that doesn't matter. Whether their motives are false or genuine, the message about Christ is being preached either way. So I rejoice. And I will continue to rejoice, for I know that as you pray for me and the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will lead to my deliverance. For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or die. For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ, so I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me, but for your sakes, it is better that I continue to live. Knowing this, I am convinced that I will remain alive so I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. And when I come to you again, you will have even more reason to take pride in Christ Jesus because of what he is doing through me. Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then, whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved even by God Himself. For you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ Jesus, but also the privilege of suffering for Him. We are in this struggle together. You have seen my struggle in the past, and you know that I am still in the midst of it. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from His love? Are your any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though He was God, He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, He gave up His divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When He appeared in human form, He humbled Himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated Him to the place of highest honor and gave Him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then, on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. But I will rejoice, even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God. Just like your faithful service is an offering to God. And I want all of you to share that joy. Yes, you should rejoice, and I will share your joy. If the Lord Jesus is willing, I hope to send Timothy to you soon for a visit. Then he can cheer me up by telling me how you are getting along. I have no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares about your welfare. All the others care only for themselves and not for what matters to Jesus Christ. But you know how Timothy has proved himself. Like a son with his father, he has served with me in preaching the good news. I hope to send him to you just as soon as I find out what is going to happen to me here. And I have confidence from the Lord that I myself will come to see you soon. Meanwhile, I thought I should send Epaphroditus back to you. He is a true brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, and he was your messenger to help me in my need. I am sending him because he has been longing to see you, and he was very distressed that you heard he was ill. And he certainly was ill. In fact, he almost died. But God had mercy on him, and also on me, so that I would not have one sorrow after another. So I am all the more anxious to send him to you, for I know you will be glad to see him, and then I will not be so worried about you. Welcome him in the Lord's love and with great joy, and give him the honor that people like him deserve, for he risked his life for the work of Christ. And he was at the point of death while doing for me what you couldn't do from far away. Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. Watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort, though I could have confidence in my own effort, if anyone could. Indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin. A real Hebrew, if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees, who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. I once thought these things were valuable. But now, consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you, but we must hold on to the progress we have already made. Dear friends, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example, for I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows that they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak, mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. I love you and long to see you, dear friends. For you are my joy and the crown I receive for my work. Now, I appeal to Yodia and Syntyche. Oh, please, please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. And I ask you, my true partner, to help these two women, for they worked hard with me in telling others the good news. They worked along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are written in the book of life. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I have ever been in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret to living in almost every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. As you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news and then traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. At the moment, I have all I need and more. I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Now, all glory to God our Father forever and ever. Amen. Give my regards to each of God's holy people, all who belong to Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send you their greetings too. And all the rest of God's people send you greetings, especially those in Caesar's household. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit.
The Apostle Paul, if you are here somewhere, please join me. While we're waiting for Chris to come, can you put that slide up there? A couple times in sermons recently, we've taken a look at this progression of growth, where what God wants to do is he wants to uncover our unconscious iniquities, meaning he wants to show us our blind spots. Where is the sin that's getting in the way of our relationships? Our relationships down here on the horizontal level and our relationship between us and God. Because if God has really called us to have good relationships, and I believe he has because Jesus said the two most important commands are to love God and love people. So it's all about relationships. If that really is God's plan for us, then we need to cooperate with the Holy Spirit to uncover those things that get in the way of every relationship that we have, whether it's with another human being or whether it's with God. So we uncover those unconscious iniquities. Iniquity means sin. And they then will become conscious iniquities. We become aware of them. We become aware of our sin. We become aware of the different ways that we are hurting other people, that we are hurting ourselves even, that we are hurting our relationship with God. So they get uncovered. We become aware of them. And then as we train with Jesus, those conscious iniquities will actually become conscious virtues. In other words, sometimes we'll be able to be gentle instead of ungentle. Is that a word? Well, it is today. Or we'll be able to be kind instead of unkind when everything in us wants to be unkind. Come on over here. I'm just rambling away until you get here. So as we train with Jesus, those conscious iniquities become conscious virtues. So we'll be able to do those at some time, but we're still aware. We're aware that we have this temptation to be unkind or to be impatient or whatever. But we can struggle with it and we can overcome at times. After we continue to train with Jesus in community. None of this happens on an island alone. It happens in community as we step on each other's toes, as we bump into each other, as we hurt each other, and as we ask forgiveness. Will you forgive me?
I do forgive you.
Thank you. Then we grow. And then those conscious virtues then will become unconscious virtues. After a while, I'm not going to do things like this to to Chris because I know that that actually hurts him and he doesn't like it. And so I stopped doing it. Right?
That's right.
That's right.
You better stop.
And so that's God's goal for us. He wants us to become like Jesus. So I'm going to ask you what passage stood out for you in a couple of minutes. But before I do that, put Philippians chapter 2, 12 to 15, I think, is it? 12 to 15, is that the one I asked you to put up? Philippians chapter 2, 12 to 15. Because this is the one that has really stood out to me, starting with verse 12. There we go. So, and this is Paul is saying the exact same thing that I was just describing in different terms there. It says, Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, it's even more important to work hard to show the results of your salvation. That's what this is talking about. Obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. So what's God's goal for us? His goal is to change us to become more and more like Jesus so we reflect the image of Jesus, so when other people see us out there, they see Jesus in us, they're attracted to Jesus and want to join us on the journey towards the heart of God. And that is basically the message of Philippians in a nutshell. And I thought that you really depicted that well. It just popped out at me. So now you have immersed yourself in Philippians for how many months here?
4 months.
4 months. Every day.
Every day.
All day long it's in your head.
A lot of the day.
A lot of the day.
Yeah.
And so you are saturated and marinating in Philippians. And as I said to you last week, I think it was, you've probably spent more time in Philippians than anybody in the history of the world.
I don't know about that.
But a lot of time there.
A lot of time, yeah. Takes
so,
a lot of time.
What did that do to you, spending that much time in Philippians?
Well, I've found that I never know exactly what God is doing and what changes he's making in my mind and in my heart as it's happening. So when I look back over the last 4 months, you know, studying it and memorizing it and saying it over and over, I wished I could look back on it and tell you, this is what God did, but it's just too soon. Like, I don't think I'm going to know till much later, and that's usually the pattern, unfortunately, that happens is you see, I might know in a year, oh, that's what God was doing. I wish I would have known at that time. Mm-hmm. But so all I can really tell you right now is how far off I am, like way, way off the mark in terms of where Paul would have like me to have been.
Hmm. And that's first step, right? If God's word is like a mirror. James said it's like a mirror. We look at it, and if we look at God's word and it shows us that we have a dirty face and we turn away and we don't clean our face off, then James says that's a little bit silly. Hmm. And what God wants to do is take his word as a mirror, show us what our hearts are like, and then he wants us to cooperate with his spirit to change us, to become like Jesus, so that he can use us to bless the world. That's what he wants to do. So we're going to be asking you for feedback in a couple minutes here. I'd like to know, what has God done in your heart? Pastor Steve is here with the mic. He's going to be the runner, and we do have a mic up top as well, if anybody up top has anything to say. But how has God spoken to you through Philippians over the last few months since September? Has there been any changes that you've seen in your heart as God used his word? Or what jumped out at you this morning maybe in a more powerful way than before, as Chris was reciting Philippians and God spoke to you through it. So first of all, Chris, while people are thinking about that, is there a verse or a passage that really popped out at you as you were immersing yourselves in Philippians?
Yeah, there was a couple of passages. One is when Paul is telling them not to worry, because I worry about everything. I get up in the morning sometimes, and I get up because I'm worrying, and then I start thinking about the day, and I worry about that, and I think about what happened yesterday. So I'm a chronic worrier, and so when he says so emphatically to them, don't worry about anything, pray about everything, that really stood out, and I was reminded of 3 years ago when we built the mountain where Jesus preached to people that had legitimate excuses to worry. You know, they were blind, they were lame, they didn't have any food, they didn't have any clothing, but he told them, don't worry. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. And these are legitimate things to worry about. The things I worry about aren't even close. And so that really spoke to me over the last 4 months. And I think the reason why Jesus is able to say that through Paul, and he was able to say that to those people, because I thought, I can't believe he said that to those people. Mm. And I think the reason why is because he's got it. It's okay. God is going to take care of your needs. He really is. And so that really stood out to me. And the other passage that really helped me over these last 4 months, because we all deal with stuff, and I had stuff that I had to deal with, is the peace that comes when you stop worrying and let go. And so it seemed like for me, when I would say it over and over again, and that's why I said, don't worry about anything twice, and pray about everything twice, because that for me was like the climactic point, and then after that, it's all peace. It's all peace. If you stop worrying, you will receive the peace, and this is such a beautiful time of year to remember God's peace, because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And when we remember the baby, that's why he came, to bring us peace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a very good point. It is his peace that Paul is talking about. It is his peace that he is giving us. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This isn't a peace that we have to drum up ourselves. God wants to give us his peace, and that's one of the gifts that God has given us through Jesus Christ. So, pretty phenomenal. So how about you? We've got to just raise your hand if you have something popped out at you, or some way that you've grown through Philippians, or some struggle you've had, or whatever. Just put up your hand, and it doesn't have to be a sermon. As a matter of fact, short is better.
What stood out for me was the passage on to be content in everything, whether a full stomach or an empty, because I struggle with one cookie's not enough,
yes.
And so I want more and more and more. And so I had been asking God, like, why am I not content with one? And so I think he's just beginning to work on me in that area now. Mm.
Yeah. Praise God. Especially Christmas time.
Except for today, I need you to buy lots of cookies. But
right.
Other than that...
There is a bake sale today. Yeah. Buy lots of cookies.
Don't worry, we got lots of cookies.
I was really challenged and blessed by especially the portion in Philippians 4, verses 4 to 9, which was a lot of what you're talking about. And not to worry was part of it, but I loved the thing, after rejoicing, let your gentleness be known to all. And then as it goes through, how to focus our mind. And that takes concentration and work to focus, and the peace that passes all understanding.
Yes.
And that is so true. So I was just so blessed by that whole section, well, the whole book, but that whole section especially.
How many warriors here? Are you warriors? Yeah. It's so easy to worry. You are not alone. And it takes practice. It takes practice. And that's why Paul says in verse 9 there, which, Julie, you were talking about, keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Right? You put these things into practice. Nobody goes from being a worrier to somebody who doesn't worry overnight. It does not happen. It is a lifelong process that we get to enjoy together. So be encouraged by that. Thanks, Julie. Anyone else? Yeah, over here, Carol.
Chapter 3, verse 10 has been bugging me for quite some time. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. I do want that. But it's so easy to skip over the next part. The fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. And I don't really want that.
Yeah.
So God's going to have to do a lot.
I hear you. Yeah, the resurrection part, that sounds fun. The suffering part, not so much. But we don't grow without pain. We don't grow when we're comfortable. And so the only way we can is to embrace the pain. Yikes.
He was saying that we should forget the past and press on to become the true sons and daughters of Christ Jesus. The Lord is coming soon, and we have to build up our faith and move on and live in peace with your neighbors and love them as Christ loved you.
Amen. Thank you, Agnes. Yeah, pressing on to just keep moving forward. And I liked how you sort of double emphasized that focus. Focus. Yeah. Herb.
I just want to thank Chris again for his devotion and his time. And the conviction. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. I don't know how many others were thinking about it, but the part where Chris was demonstrating, where he's telling us about the what we should be doing is going out and witnessing and telling the people the good news of the Lord Jesus. And you've certainly done that for me. Thank you.
Amen. Thanks, Herb. Caleb? Yeah, Caleb.
What stood out to me was like that the people in Philippi, they were like the only ones who cared about Paul. And like I guess they were just like really filled with the Holy Spirit. And I guess that's what stand out to me.
Yeah, that is great. They really cared for Paul. And Paul said all these other churches around, they probably still people that cared about him, but the church in Philippi just stood out as this beacon. They sort of had this brand, this joyful brand and this caring brand, this compassionate brand. And so when Paul thought of them, he was filled with joy. And that's what we need to become at CRBC, right?
Hello.
Hello.
Sorry. I haven't read a Bible in 12 months, so forgive me if I get this wrong. But chapter 3:7 or whatever just says, you know, I give it all for God and he's in jail. I mean, who here could be in behind bars? And instead of saying I'm in jail because of Christ, he said I'm in jail for Christ. You know, a car breakdown, our family fights, the holidays, it's stressful. But when do we ever say, you know, like, maybe it's for Christ. Here he is, he's writing letters to his brethren in Christ, and he's passionate. I liked how Chris really embodied that passion that Paul had. You know, even in his darkest times, his period of life where he's going through the same stuff that Job is going through, he doesn't care. He's passionate. He's loving. And I don't know. I'm inspired by that.
Yeah. All about Jesus, right? Yeah. Thank you. Anyone else? Over here and up top. Let's go up top first.
Yeah.
Brian?
Experiencing Christ's suffering, it seems to me that the Philippians were God's grace to Paul when he was in jail and suffering. And I'm thinking about our church that has ministered to me as I went through grief. And this year, a number of people have experienced grief, losing things. And I just want to encourage you that you reach out to me and supported me when I was experiencing grief. And I want to encourage you to reach out to those that are suffering now.
Hmm. Jeannie.
What stuck out to me was when Paul said, do not be selfish, but be humble. None of selfishness comes from the Lord. Humility does.
Yeah.
And I find that's where I'm commonly trapped.
Yeah.
And that's where my day goes awry. And so to present all of me to the Lord daily, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my rock and my redeemer, is the part where I struggle the most and stuck out. So gifting that back to God daily.
Amen.
So thank you for that reminder.
Thank you. Thank you. And, you know, nowhere in the Bible does it say to pray for humility. It says be humble. It says humble yourself. It doesn't say pray for it. It says humble yourself. And so it's an act of the will that we do with God's help. Ruthie?
I loved where you said Paul was praying that they would find out what really matters. And so there, I loved how you dramatized this with your costume and the chains on your arms, and you're saying in this place of poverty and suffering, I found out what really matters. And later that you can do everything through Christ. And I just loved how the message, the juxtaposed against that picture of suffering, was just pouring out of Paul's heart so much encouragement and worship to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, do you have anything to say about that? I don't want to be the guy. Yeah.
No, go ahead. No,
sorry.
I've spoken enough. Actually,
I was just getting ready. There's this famous story. I love that.
We met a few times, didn't we?
Yes.
And throughout the last 4 months, and every time he asked me, what is it doing? You know, what is God doing? And every time I thought, I know why you're asking, because you want to be able to, at the end, you want to be able to say, this is what God did, or you want me to say it. And I thought, I don't know. But the very first time we met, I just remember now, as you're talking about, it seems like there's been a few people that have talked about the suffering. And I remember saying, I just feel so nowhere near where Paul was. Like, Paul was just so ready to die. He was completely satisfied with the work, satisfied to move on, to press on. He was completely ready to go. I want to be with him. I want to be with Jesus. And I thought, I don't think that way. I'm still here. I'm still thinking about this world almost 100% of the time. And he was almost exactly the opposite. He says he was torn, and so you feel like it's 50-50, but I think he was almost 100% in the spiritual realm, which is right here. It's in our hearts, right? The kingdom of God is here now. And so he was there. It was like this, he's almost there. He's just right there. And I'm not. I'm just so worried about this world. And so as you're talking about the suffering, I'm remembering that was another process that I was working through as I was. So I'm with you.
Yeah, and it is a process, right?
Mm-hmm.
You aren't going to go from oh, I'm 100% focused on the earth right now, and my building my empire and making, you know, worrying about all this stuff to just 100% focused on heaven and the things that are important to God. It's a process that we need to practice in cooperation with the Holy Spirit. But as Ruthie said, Paul said he wants us to know what really matters. What really matters? What really matters? You know, do the things that upset us really matter? You know, is it such a big deal that somebody cut us off in traffic or the line up at Superstore is really long and they only have one register open and the person in front of you is pulling out all their change and counting it and you're in a hurry? Does it really matter? The things that we think really matter, do they really matter? And we're going to be doing a study in Colossians starting, I think, in February. And in Colossians chapter 3, Paul says, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And that's what God wants to do in our hearts. He wants to change us so that our focus is up there and so that we're okay. That's why Paul could be okay with whatever he was going through. That's why. His focus was upward. It wasn't down here. And this is going to take a long time cooperating together, but owning our stuff and recognizing we are not there yet. And it's okay. But God doesn't want to keep us there. And so we cooperate with him. Anyone else before we shut that part down? Is there a hand up over here? Jen?
Thanks for running, Steve. So I'm very struck by the very end here. There's sort of this sly Philippians 4:22, all the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. Mm. And I think of that as almost being a bit of a sly, you know, he's still at work. Paul's still working, chained to these guards. Mm-hmm. And this fall, I've had the opportunity a couple times where I've seen, you know, folks of great faith who are now very elderly and whose health is failing. And they're no longer out doing the stuff that they were doing before. They're kind of chained to people. They're chained to caregivers, or to home care nurses, or to care aides, or to hospital nurses. And I see those people witnessing in a very powerful way. And so that's an encouragement to you guys out there who maybe are a bit weak of leg or gray of hair, or just to continue to see that you have a huge witness.
Amen.
And that your work's not done.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. All right. Thank you, Chris. Big hand for Chris again. We're going to stand and sing one more song, and it is Joy to the World, and sort of a major theme in Philippians is this joy that Paul had spilling out of him, even though he was suffering in jail. It just spilled out, and so let's stand and let's sing joyfully to the Lord.